It began as a miniature war game, but within a few years, it changed the face of gaming forever. I'm talking, of course, about Dungeons & Dragons. We narrated a couple of early adventures over the past few episodes. These were modules from 1st Edition published in the late 70s when D&D was still new. My friends and I played it from the earliest days, and the stories are taken from notes I took and memories of them. In truth, back then we didn't have as strong as stories attached to them, nor as much depth to the characters as I portrayed in these episodes. We mostly played them as straight adventures at the time, but I wanted to include these as histories to the campaign that will play in later episodes, so I gave them characteristics and placed them into my current world and Jeppa. I wanted to talk a little bit about D&D's influence and the rise of role-playing games before I move on to the next campaign. It's personal for me because not only is it a big part of my childhood and helped me turn into a storyteller, but it also began the same year I was born. Chainmail, a miniatures war game, was released in 1971. It pitted monsters against fantasy heroes, many of whom derived from the Lord of the Rings series. Over the next few years, the chainmail rule started getting used in several ways beyond its original intention. In particular, a man named Dave Arneson used them to create adventures in a world he created, which included forays into a dungeon. Over the next few years, he began working with one of the creators of Chainmail, Gary Gygax, to refine his idea into something that involved the heroic characters delving into a dungeon to find treasure. Rather than one player running all the heroes and another player running all the monsters that are placed on the table at the beginning of the game, instead there was one player for each of the heroic characters, and the monster player only revealed the monsters when they were spotted by the heroes. This player soon became known as the Dungeon Master. The two game designers worked through their system and published their final piece called Dungeons & Dragons in 1974. Over the next couple years, the first three modules were released. Palace of the Vampire Queen, followed by The Temple of the Frog, and Dwarven Glory. TSR released their first one ever, Tomb of Horrors, much to the consternation of players everywhere. I got involved in 1977, having been introduced to it by my cousins. I thought it was a prank they were playing on me when they said it was an amazing game and I went to see no board and everyone sitting around the floor with sheets of paper that looked like homework. This was the same year that Star Wars came out, and the Atari home game system was invented. This was also when home computers were first coming out, and along with them, computer games. The book Dune was still new and beloved, and the Lord of the Rings book series was having a revival in popularity. Spielberg had made the first true blockbuster film called Jaws, and some of the most classic original movies were being made. It was an incredible time of innovation. It's the reason I refer to my generation not as X, which is the dumbest name for any generation ever, but rather the entertainment generation. We grew up with the most incredible contributions to entertainment of all time, and role-playing games were a big part of it. Though many, many people did not appreciate it at the time, and those of us who did were oftentimes hiding in our basements. As Dungeons & Dragons grew into advanced D&D in 1978, new RPGs were invented, such as Boot Hill, Top Secret, Traveler, and Gangbusters. I tried them all out, but stuck mostly with the last two. My cousins, who lived in the country, loved Boot Hill. The older kids played Top Secret. I was excited by the way Traveler made me feel smart, though to be honest, I never really understood all the heavy math in the game. But Gangbusters introduced me to the unique style of the 1920s. There was no exploring of dungeons, finding treasure, and fighting monsters. In fact, there really wasn't much fighting at all. You were typically supposed to solve mysteries. When fights broke out, they usually went all one way or all the other very quickly. Like most games of that era, it was very easy to get killed, so you had to be careful. Instead of playing a fighter or a thief or a magic user or something, you were choosing among being a private detective, a police officer, an FBI agent, a gangster, even a reporter. The modules had separate openings and goals for each character type. And in the end, they actually had rules for proving your case in court. The more evidence you had, the more likely your case would be to stick. So you didn't just announce that you had solved the case, you needed to actually go out and gather as much evidence and witnesses as you could, or the one you caught might go free. Unless you were a gangster, in which case it usually ended with a shootout. That's why Gangbusters is going to be our next campaign. We'll return to Dungeons & Dragons again. That campaign will be popping up every now and again as we see various stories throughout the world of Anjeppa. Each time we do, we'll see a little more of the overall story of that place. But in the meantime, we're going to follow the cases of Dylan Griebel, a private detective, as he breaks open the cases of each of the Gangbusters modules from the 1980s. We hope you enjoyed the campaign as much as it was to play it. In the meantime, happy gaming, everybody.